Alberta Beef Producers is looking for the next provincial representative to the Canadian Cattle Youth Council. Apply today for the chance to represent Alberta cattle producers on a national and international level. Improve your resume with learning opportunities like board governance and media training. Expand your network in the industry and learn about the many ways you can get involved now and in the future. Nominees must be between the ages of 18 and 40 and an eligible cattle producer in Alberta. Applications close May 17th, 2024. You can learn more by going to abpdaily.com.
How can we be sustainable? And let's look at each at our own operations and stay and say, you know, how is this operation going to be sustainable for many years? And what I'm doing, will is it where I want to go? So I think that's something important for us each to look at our own operation instead of looking around us.
Today, the Environmental Stewardship Award, our 2022 sponsors and recipients. Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of The Bovine. I'm your host, Deborah Murphy, and today we will be talking about the Environmental Stewardship Award. Each year, Alberta Beef Producers recognizes a cattle operation that demonstrates leadership in environmental stewardship, one that contributes to the land while improving productivity and profitability. This year's ESA is made possible in part by the sponsorship of Ducks Unlimited Canada and the Nature Conservancy of Canada. And earlier this month, I had the chance to catch up with Tom Lynch Staunton, NCC's Regional Vice President for Alberta, and Torsten Hebben, Manager of Provincial Operations for Alberta with Ducks Unlimited Canada. Here's Tom briefly on what NCC does and why it was important to support the ESA this year.
Much like Ducks, we raise money to support stewardship and improvement and restoration on many of the lands and partnerships that we have. And that's why the Environmental Stewardship Award is so important and why we wanted to support it, because, you know, land management and taking care of land takes investment, it takes time, it takes effort. And being able to support stewardship improvement projects and even recognition about ranchers that are doing a great job is so important to help maintain the health of these areas. And we can help support that through some of our funding sources and programs that we do for stewardship. So that's why this is quite exciting for us to be able to have the opportunity to support the Alberta Beef Producers Environmental Stewardship Award.
Torsten Hebben of Ducks Unlimited Canada echoed those thoughts.
I see the beef producers, the ranchers out there as you know, very effective environmental stewards in and of themselves. They know their land. They know what works well for their land. As Tom mentioned, what they are in effect doing is carrying on, I'll call it the historical environmental tradition relative to, you know, bison grazing, which was essential to maintaining the health of the landscape, the health of the grasslands. And that is emulated by the work of the ranchers, of the beef producers, of the, you know, the cattlemen and cattlewomen out there. And it makes for a, you know, great fit with what we seek to do.
We'll be introducing the 2022 award recipients very shortly, but first a word to them from our sponsors.
Keep up the good work. It's always exciting to find kindred spirits and their love of the environment and taking care of it properly, and doing their part to really try to maintain the health of the land, not just for themselves, but for generations to come. It really is inspirational. It's something that we can all support, and we can all also be inspired to do ourselves. So congratulations to them.
I would extend my congratulations as well. I think we see a lot of this good stewardship out there. I think it's often a difficult choice in terms of to reward relative to what's actually going on. And that's evidenced by the number of working relationships that we have, the number of conservation easements that we have between ourselves, Ducks Unlimited, and NCC. There's a lot of good stuff happening out there. To rise to the top of all that good work is pretty darn impressive. So congrats to the recipients.
And finally, what you're all here for, up next, our 2022 Environmental Stewardship Award recipients. Well, this year's ESA is unique not just in its sponsorship, but also in its rollout. In the past, ESA winners have been announced at the Alberta Beef Producers AGM. This year, the award recipient announcement was first shared in ABP Magazine. We hope you got yours. And now it's being featured on our podcast and will soon be celebrated through video and in-person events. Rolling with the uniqueness, we're excited to invite Elan Lees to the mic as a guest host for our next segment. Elan co-owns Sauter Glen South and, along with her family and ranch employees, was presented with the Environmental Stewardship Award in 2021. Elan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Deborah. It's great to be here.
Well, we heard from you a lot last year, especially in the early days, which I bet maybe felt a bit like a whirlwind. Now that you've had some time to reflect, what was it like to receive the ESA?
Deborah, we were really honored and humbled to be the recipient of such an important industry award. And, you know, there was a lot of efforts that went into that award. And I just want to thank Alberta Beef Producers, Caitlin and Chris and all the staff that went into producing the beautiful video that they did for us to recognize us for our Alberta Stewardship Award, and the beautiful sign that they presented to us that's hanging on our front porch at our South Ranch. And, you know, there was a lot of great nominees, and they had a lot of outstanding efforts in their conservation and stewardship and safeguarding the environment. And I just want to recognize them as well. So we were grateful for it and grateful to be recognized for our work in our grasslands. And, you know, our main focus is grassland production and sustainability of our range and providing drought tolerance. And that was tested in this last year. We wouldn't have made it through this past year with the drought if we hadn't put in the 15 miles of pipeline and water systems that we did. So, you know, it proved that we did do the right things for sustainability, and we made it through the drought, and we're just praying for rain for the next few months. So we'll see.
You're certainly not alone in your hope for rain, Elan. You said at the start that you're honored and humbled to have received the award. Well, we can also say that we're honored and humbled to have you joining us for today's show as a guest host. Are you ready to introduce the ESA winners?
You bet. Since 1992, ABP, Alberta Beef Producers, has recognized farms and ranches across the province whose natural resource stewardship practices contribute to the environment, enhance productivity and profitability. This year's winner, Ribbon Creek Ranch, Linden, Alberta, Jerry and Don Berg were awarded with the 2022 Environmental Stewardship Award. Please welcome and join Jerry for the show today. Welcome, Jerry, to the Bovine, and congratulations on this great award.
Well, thank you, Elan. It's good to be on here with you.
I have to ask this question, so I want to ask you this question. What was it like to hear that you and your family first won the 2022 ESA Award?
Wow, that's a little bit hard to describe. I just say I was amazed to start with. I felt very humbled, very honored to get that award. Yeah, it's amazing. I felt very much just like an average Joe, and who was I to get it? So yeah, that's what I felt like.
I agree. We felt the same way, Jerry. It was just things that we were doing every day to protect the environment. And, you know, at our heart, we are ranchers, but we're also environmentalists. And I think this award is great to show the public that all ranchers and farmers are doing everything that they can to protect the grasses and the lands and providing good stewardship. And that's just a day-to-day activity for us. So congratulations on your efforts. You know, for Alberta Beef Producers magazine is simply an amazing magazine. And you were featured in April's on page 26 to 29. So congratulations. It was a beautiful article. Tell us about your ranch and what you do, and tell us about Ribbon Creek.
Okay, well, We're a mixed farm. Here, we live just 7 miles east of Linden, is where the home place is, surrounded by a maybe a little more of a grain community here where we live. So we have, I grew up on a grain farm, chicken farm. I've always done the grain farming. I decided at some point I was going to not do the chickens and switch over into the cow side of it. So that's kind of my passion, the cows are. So then, yeah, about almost 10 years ago, we purchased a small ranch out east of the 21 here, not terribly far from here. And at that time is when we would have essentially started in the cow-calf. I'd had, you know, feeder cattle before that and a small herd of my own. But that's kind of when we got started, and because that's more suited for the cow-calf out there. So, yeah, now we run a mixed farm. Grain farm, and the cow calf is kind of more centered out at my east place, and together those two keep us quite busy. So just me and my family here run this operation. I work together with my dad some on the grain farm, and my brother-in-law and me we trade help quite a bit on our cow calf side. So just a little overview of what we do.
That's great, Jerry. Tell me about your family and how they are involved in the operation.
Okay, my wife Dawn and my children. It's a kind of a family project. My children help me a lot. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. Most of them are in school yet. The oldest two are out of school. My oldest daughter moved out to Nova Scotia, so she obviously isn't here for most of the year now. And my second daughter, she works part-time at a feedlot, and the rest of the time she comes and helps me here with the cows. And so, yeah, it's kind of a juggling act to keep everything together. It's fun, but it's full to the top of my ears, like I say sometimes. But, you know, support from my wife and from my family, we make it work. And some days are stressful, but for the most part, we love what we do.
That's excellent. Tell us about some of the things that you've done on your farm to support environmental stewardship.
Well, I would think from this, I'm going to talk of two aspects. There's a side of the grasslands that I work with. I'm passionate about my grasslands. Like our land out east it's a lot of native, and we all know that's pretty fragile land out there. Managing that hard grass is quite fragile. So, you know, when we purchased that land 10 years ago, I decided in order to make this work, I'm going to have to start fencing it up. I'm going to have to start putting, you know, water to the places that are never grazed. And so over the last 9 years, it's been a lot of fun just slowly fencing it up and, you know, managing it in a way that, you know, that improves the grass, and starting a water system for those pieces that did not have access to water. And then also, I've been planting some of my grain land down there. I've been planting down to perennials slowly, and, you know, seeing if I can make that sustainable to plant. Like, you know, we live out here in green country.
Right.
And you know that mindset. So some people think I'm crazy as I'm planting some of my cropland down into perennials and putting cows on there. So, you know, those are projects I'm working with, slowly working into them. I'm really enthused about.
Well, that's a tough thing to do out in your area. How are you managing for drought in the last year? What are you doing differently to save those grasses?
Well, drought is never easy. What I would do typically is my native land, I would save that for, you know, typical April, May, calving my cows on. So I would typically do that and then move them to the perennials and out to rented grass. We have a bit of We send probably half our cow calf up to Rimby Country for summer. So that native land is, for me, it's my springtime grass. In last summer, it hardly greened up here at all. So my grasses didn't regrow. And so this spring is challenging. So, you know, we've purchased some hay. They're grazing, and I'm also supplementing with them with hay. So making a little tough choices there, you know. Some small pieces are having to be on longer than I like to because we're supplementing with hay. But somehow I'm trying to, you know, look at the future and do what's best for my grasslands. But it's drought is never easy to work with.
No, we all understand that. And is the spring watering system that you developed help you in that movement of cattle so that you are grazing effectively and during drought?
Yes, absolutely. And when you talk of a spring water system, I'm just going to clarify that a little bit. I would have started with that initially with my project quite a few years ago, and I moved that away from a spring-fed watering system, because in a spring-fed watering system, my water was all down at the bottom of the valleys, and it's a little difficult to have all your watering systems down on the bottom. And so a couple of years ago, I expanded my system. I moved them all up to the top of the hills, so all my watering spots are on the top, and I get my water source from the yard site, and I'm pumping well water, you know, quite some distance. But back to your question, definitely has made a difference, because I can now put water in areas where the cows would have initially not gone when there was larger paddocks. I can make smaller paddocks. I can hold them there for a short period of time and move on to the next piece. So in my mind, water is the key point in grazing. I mean, management is huge, but to have water where you need it is so big, and you know that. I mean, you're facing that same thing, I'm sure.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you'll understand that well or more than me. So,
Jerry, tell me, you know, when you decided to go back into cows, or to go into cows, did you set some goals about environmental stewardship? What were you thinking? Did you go to courses? How did you start out? What was your plan?
Well, now in the ideal story, I would have had this plan. But, you know, when I first bought cows, I was enthused about cows, got into them. I'm saying it's been a journey since then. And, you know, my passion for cows, for grazing, for regenerative ag has been a kind of a journey. And I'd say more of it has grown since I started. You know, when I started, oh man, when I look back, there's so many, many things I didn't know, and I still don't know. But, you know, it's a journey we're on. And when I was thinking of this award, I was thinking, you know, I wrote a few notes here, and one of them is, I feel like I can't give a lot of credit to myself, because there's such a teamwork of people that make this possible. I mean, I think of, you know, for instance, Foothills Forge has put on so many, many good field days, conferences, they've got speakers. You know, that has been one huge factor in on my journey, helping my thinking change, is all those type of things, you know. And our vets are part of my team. The nutritionist is part of my team. You know, you guys, where I come by my bulls, that's part of the team. It's such a network that makes a difference on my farm. You know, I'm just one small guy here, but when I think of that, it's a journey. But we also are in an industry where there is interest for that. So can I say I had a plan when I started? I'd say it's more of a journey since then.
Excellent. We also, you know, we search out people to help us that are smarter than us, and we learn from them. And And that's the way to build a better ranch and keep your ranch sustainable. So that's really good advice for people, Jerry. Tell me a message that you want to get out to non-ranchers and the general public about your operation and about cattle production and grass.
Well, when I think of non-farmers, I would like them, I wish that many of those people who aren't affiliated with the farms and the ranches would be able to come out and to see what we are trying to do for to protect our environment, how we're trying to raise food in a healthy way for them. I know most of the information they see is over the news, and there's people out there with an agenda trying to work against us in agriculture. And I just wish that they could come out and see, you know, this is our passion. This is our life out here. You know, it's not an 8-to-5 job. This is our life. And we care about it, and we care about raising food for the world.
I agree, Jerry. Very well said. You said you'd never rip up your native grass. Tell us about that and why you ended up there.
Oh, well, I guess the area that I live in is predominantly grain land. When I go a little east here to where my small ranch is, there is a little more native out there, but there's not very much native left. And to me, you know, visiting with some of the older graziers around that have been mentors to me, like, I've realized that that native grassland is like gold to me, I treat it that way. And I remember what one of my mentors told me. He says, if you take care of that grass, he said, it will take care of you. So, you know, I'm not going to break my native up. To me, that's such an integral part of my operation over there, and I want to protect it.
So you've done a lot of things to enhance environmental stewardship on your operation. Is there anything that you could share with somebody that worked really well or didn't work well, or things that you would change?
Just trying to think.
You know, was it water infrastructure, or was it something to do with the cattle or production or anything that would help somebody looking to enhance their environmental stewardship of their ranch?
Yeah, water systems is a big thing. And, you know, we live in a time where electric fencing allows us to be very flexible with grazing. It's a huge part of changing the way we affect our land is our electric fencing, right? It just becomes, as we have herds that are used to electric fencing, we can bring our grazing areas way smaller, we can move animals around, we can move them daily, weekly, however we need. So to me, you know, you add, if you think of the grazing side of it only, the water together with electric fencing, able to move our animals around, to me are the two biggest things that can make a real impact on our land.
You touched on it briefly earlier, but can you tell me why environmental stewardship is so important to you and your family? And what's going to happen after you've left the farm or ranch?
Well, when I was thinking of this award, I don't know if this is right on the topic, but, you know, I was thinking back to when this started. Two of my vets from Veterinary Agri Health in Airdrie, Dr. Tommy, Dr. Elizabeth, they're the ones who approached me and asked if they could submit an application for this award on my behalf. And, you know, I thought on it for a while, and they're actually the ones who submitted this. They did all the hard work, the background work for it. But as I thought of this award, I thought of it, it's not an award that for the best production, the highest production, the biggest or the best, but it's on, you know, environmental stewardship. And You know, I'm a God-fearing man, and it aligns with my values. I've been given, I feel like when I look at history, I've been given just a little blip in this history to take care of this land that I have, and I want to be able to hand it on to my children, whoever takes it, better than I took it, if that's possible. So yeah, that aligns with my values and what I'm aiming to do.
What's on the horizon for Ribbon Creek Ranch? What are you working on? What's the future look like for it?
Well, the things that are rolling around in my mind is so I'm on a mixed operation. I got grain, I got cattle. They complement each other a lot. I feel like I'm starting to grow more cover crops. I'm starting to grow more mixed crops that would be more, well, for cattle feed, and also planting some annual grazings. So, you know, what I'm slowly working into is, will I be able to be in the future planting annual grazing crops as a rotation in my grain farm and expanding my cattle herd? It seems like I'm working there slowly and experimenting and seeing what works well with annual grazings, and knowing that putting cattle on my land has a definitely positive impact on my grain land as well. So that's, putting those two together is something I think about quite a bit, and how I can do that, maybe keep more of my cattle at home instead of hauling too many out. I like my rental grass, but I can't rely too much on that. So to balance those two together, put my cattle on my own land is also part of regenerating my farmland as well.
Jerry, one more question I have. You do a lot of management practices to minimize nutrient loading into your lands, just because it's so ridiculously expensive. Tell me some of the things that you do so that you don't have to put your fertilizers and things down as part of your management.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good question. Very applicable this year with inputs so extremely high. One thing that we have started with a couple of years ago is growing polycultures instead of the monocultures. So most of you know what that is planting two or more crops together at one time. So if you plant, what I'm planting this year is, say, oats and peas together. That combination has worked really well. And, you know, I'm probably putting only down one third the amount of fertilizer that I would have on a regular monoculture crop. And I think getting the same amount of product. So, you know, those type of things can have a real impact on buying a lot less synthetics. There's something about growing more of them together that has had quite a benefit even on our weed pressure. So that is one thing. Another thing I'm doing is planting cover crops with, say, barley. This year I did one quarter planted barley down, coming down and plant sweet clover with it. Sweet clover is a biannual, right? So it should come up this year with the barley. And then I dump chaff piles with the barley, so it should enhance the feed value in my chaff piles, and then also next year as well, before it dies out. So also sweet clover being a legume should give us a living root growing in my land from all the way till late fall, till freeze up, which is, to me, it's something I'm aiming for as well, to keeping a living root growing longer.
Well, it sounds like you're a great custodian of the land, and I just want to congratulate you again in your efforts for conservation and environmental stewardship. Congratulations, Jerry, a very well-deserved award.
Well, thank you.
From everyone here at Alberta Beef Producers, congratulations, Ribbon Creek Ranch, on winning our 2022 Environmental Stewardship Award.